Amen. Blessed be his name. Amen. How many came to worship him this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm in the right place then. Amen. I did too. Thank you, musicians. Bless you. Hallelujah. We'll read from Exodus, the 33rd chapter this morning, as we go into part 12 of the body work. Exodus 33, verses 18 through 21. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. What is Moses asking for here? Show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, we worship you this morning, and we've come to worship you. We've come to proclaim your name. We've come to sing of your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your long-suffering. And Lord, just all of the marvelous things that you've showered upon us and made known to us, Lord. We worship you. Lord, we worship you in a greater measure than we did yesterday and the day before, because more of you is being made manifest to us as we are changed from glory to glory. Father, we just ask that you'd be with us in the remainder of this service, and Lord, that you'd help us to set aside our worries and cares and frets, and Lord, just all the things from our daily grind, our daily walk, Lord, we want to just lay it all down, sit at your feet as you minister to us your word. Bless each and every one, Lord. And Father, if there's healing that's needed this morning, may that healing go forth. If there's deliverance that's needed, may deliverance take place. Father, whatever it is that we have need of, you have provided. And so, Lord, we're here to receive it this morning. Bless your children now, Lord, and we surely give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So it's hard for you and I to relate to these experiences that Moses has had, because few people have had experiences like this. We've never perhaps had a visible encounter with an angelic being. And yet Moses has not only encounters, but regular encounters, regular visitations. And not just with created beings, which would be a wonderful thing, but with the Lord himself. We talk to the Lord in prayer, and we should. And he answers us by moving on our hearts, by speaking to us through his word, and various other ways to let us know that he's mindful of us. Some of us dream dreams or see visions on occasion that are supernatural. Or we hear a message in tongues and an interpretation is given. But all born-again believers sense the anointing of his presence at times. And we treasure those moments. And we look to see what it seems that we did right, so that we can experience his presence again and again and again. We ask ourselves, well, what was different? What did I do right? How is it that his presence just came, whether I was in my car or whether I was at home in prayer or whether I was in church or on the job site, what was different? So for the Lord himself to be visibly before us and to speak to us, well, that's not something that we can relate to. And there are very few beings, if you think about it, very few beings in the history of the world that have had these kind of encounters. And in every case, they were prophets of God that were physically made a little different than the rest of us. And they were chosen of God for these encounters. So Moses was a man chosen of God to have supernatural experiences with the Lord. The Lord had previously made himself known to Moses as Yahweh, the I Am in the bush that burned, but strangely was not consumed. And in making himself known by his name, he was making known a part of his character to Moses. Now the word name in Hebrew means character or reputation. It's the word Shem. And in the West, we don't have a clue what the meaning of names are many times. In fact, parents will name their children names without having any idea of what the name means. Maybe they like the sound of it. And a lot of times, even people will make up names. But every name has a meaning, whether you know what the meaning is or not. Every sound has a certain meaning to it. So many times, parents choose names for their children because they like the sound of the name, or they're naming their child after somebody, but maybe it's without regard at all to what the name might mean. But when God chooses to reveal himself to us, it's through his name, which reveals to us a portion of his character. So when God reveals himself to us through his name in our day, it's a further revealing of himself to us. Amen. That's why we can't just say, well, we want to look at the cross this morning. Now, we certainly, God revealed himself through the sacrifice that died on Calvary. God certainly did that, but he's not doing that right now. That part has been revealed. That part is with us. But there's a further unfolding that's taking place in our day. And it's in his name, and it's a further revelation of his character, of his attributes. So the seven redemptive names of Jehovah that we are familiar with in the Old Testament, each one of them reveals a portion of his character or his reputation. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Shalom, he is our peace. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, and so on and so forth. Now Moses had stood in the position as an intercessor on behalf of the people, as we looked at last time. And it was Christ himself anointing Moses as Moses pled the case for the children of Israel. And yet we know that Christ can move on you and I on behalf of somebody else. And it's so real, and it's so personal to us that many times we believe that it's our own selves, that the burden is us, that it's coming from us. And when actually it's Christ in you interceding on behalf of another through you. And the burden may be so great at times that we seek to get out from under it because it is so real and it is so heavy seemingly upon us. But he said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. And some will feel sorry for themselves because they're feeling this burden, not realizing that it isn't actually they themselves that are burdened, but it's Christ that's burdened in you and through you, seeking a release. You know, some of us will have loved ones that we'll pray for 30, 40, 50 years. And maybe we feel sorry for ourselves because we think, oh my, that should have been answered. And look at so-and-so and my life must be a failure. And I've got this burden. And how come my family this, that, and the other? Well, think about it in a little different term. Think about what if you didn't exist? What if you weren't here? Who would pray for him? Who would intercede? God has given you that place. Oh my. So it's Christ the intercessor moving on the human heart on behalf of another so that what is done in heaven can take place here on the earth. God needs someone on the earth to agree with what is taking place in heaven. And it can actually cause at times groanings and utterings in prayer that cannot be uttered. And we may never know what is being uttered as we groan and travail in prayer at times. But we, in groaning and travailing in prayer, we feel a burden lift as the Spirit of Christ is actually praying through us on behalf of someone else. But in this case, with Moses, he was literally speaking lip to ear with the Lord, and he was acting out the part of the intercessor on behalf of the children of Israel. And no doubt he was emboldened somewhat by this experience, which caused him to want to know the Lord in a greater way. The more you know of him, the more you want to know of him. To know him is to love him. We can say that we love him before we know him, but you can't really love something you don't know. So Moses wanted to see him in a greater way, to see more of him, to see him face to face. Now, when a husband and a wife are separated for a time and then they get a letter from one another, one gets a letter from the other, or they talk to one another on the phone, they're thankful for that experience. And it's a wonderful experience. But that experience makes them want to see one another even more. It makes them long and yearn to see one another face to face, to see one another in person, which is to know their mate in a greater measure. So to look upon one another and to sense the other one's presence, to look into the eyes, which the eyes are the windows to the soul, to hear them breathe sometimes, to hold their hand, to grab a hold of them and embrace them and squeeze them where you just want to squeeze them into yourself, and vice versa. The phone call and FaceTime, that can be wonderful. But what it does is it creates a thirst for a greater experience. Something more real, as we would say. Something more tangible. Are you with me this morning? Amen. So Moses had interceded on behalf of the people. They had sinned against God. And God told Moses, I'm not going with you in this journey any further. Because if I do, and the people sin against me again, you saw my anger, you saw my wrath, you interceded. But if they do this again, I'll wipe them out with my wrath, with my judgment. Again, we know that this is the Lord condescending, and in the process of condescending, he's personifying himself in Moses and to Moses and in such a way that you and I as human beings, we can relate to the supernatural one. And what is being expressed to us is the righteousness and the holiness and the justness of God that cannot tolerate sin. His justice demands that sin be dealt with. And he cannot fellowship with sin. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And yet he also has within himself a way to deal with sin. And he has within himself the character of an intercessor. And these aspects of his character are being expressed to us in a way that we can relate to through this drama that's being played out with Moses and with the Lord God. But again, he's not expressing to us that he is many gods. He's not expressing to us that he's a good cop here and a bad cop there, and you better stay away from the bad cop and hang out with the good cop. The Lord God is one. He is the I am. But him being a supernatural being and us being natural beings and finite in our flesh, and not only that, but we're trapped in time, we cannot know the eternal one on his level and all at once. So he condescends to make himself known to us in part. So God says, I'm not going to send my presence to go among you, but instead I'm going to send a servant. I'm going to send a created angel to go with you in this journey. And Moses says, please, God, don't do that. All I've ever known is your presence thus far. I've not been led by an angel. I've known you. I've been led personally by you. If you aren't going with me, God, I don't want to go either. I want to be with you. I don't want a lieutenant or an advisor to go with me. I want you to go with me. So through this intercession on Moses' part, the Lord says, okay, Moses, I'll remain with you, but not with them. He had moved the heart of God through intercession. Now this is, once again, don't get the idea or the picture that man can move God, but we're showing how the attribute of God can move God. How God can deal with, how God can be a just God, a holy God, a sanctified God, a righteous God, a God of order, a God of laws, a God who demands that sin be judged, and at the same time, God can have within himself something that will allow him to fellowship with man when man has fallen. And to make a way back for man rather than destroying him. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. So Moses moves the heart of God through intercession, playing the part of Christ. And Moses continues on and he pleads on behalf of the people. And the Lord says, all right, Moses, all right, all right. I myself will be with you, and I'll also be in the midst of the people. I will lead and I will guide. And so Moses now wants to know God in a greater measure. Can you imagine that? Amen. Certainly you can. Amen. Now he doesn't have a word from the Lord anywhere that tells him that he can have this. But something in him wants to know God in a greater measure than before. Exodus 33, verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That word glory is honor, splendor, dignity, reputation. Now Moses has seen the pillar of fire. But God isn't the pillar of fire. Fire. Amen. Amen. And Moses knows that when he sees the pillar of fire and God is in the pillar of fire, that he's seeing the Lord veiled. He's not seeing the Lord face to face. So he's asking for the veil to be removed. He wants to see the splendor of the Lord. You know, it would be like you talking to somebody that's behind a curtain. And you could have some wonderful conversations and you can be assured that that person is that person behind the curtain. And you can know them in a certain way. So he's heard the voice, but now he wants to see the person of his presence. Now he wants to see more of him. Now he wants to know his character. Now he desired this because he knows that he's found special favor with God, and because of that, he's emboldened to know him in a greater measure. There was a time when we wanted to sneak up on God. There was a time when maybe we didn't even know how to talk to him. There was a time when we were afraid to even come near him. But as he makes himself known to you in a greater and greater measure, you come boldly before the throne and you want more of him. When we feed on his word, our appetite for him grows. When we feed on the world, our appetite for the world grows. So it depends on what we're feeding on. So to see more of Him, to see a greater measure of Him, our appetite has to increase, and our appetite increases as we spend time in His presence, as we spend time in His Word, as we seek Him. Now, we listen to the recorded messages of what took place in our day, and we should. And we hear what He did in our day, and we should. But that's not enough for us. We want the very same God to make Himself real and to make Himself personal to us today. And for some, they say we're blaspheming. But that's the whole point. Blaspheming isn't the whole point, but the whole point of us hearing what He did yesterday is to let us know that He's the same today. It's to show us how to approach Him. It's to show us what is being made available. How we can know Him in present tense in our day. So we can quote what we listen to. We can memorize what we listen to. We can memorize the conversations that are recorded in the Bible. Other conversations that God had with His prophets or with different ones. And nothing against that. And we should. But what that does is it creates a greater thirst in us to know Him in a greater way ourselves. Now, we are actually blessed to have that thirst. And many times we can have a pity party over that. Oh, you know, I just want so much more of God. And we just cry out and we're hungering and thirsting and we press and we do this and we do that. And maybe we might start feeling sorry for ourselves. You're blessed to have that thirst. Because without that thirst, you wouldn't seek His face. He's actually placed that thirst in us because He wants our fellowship. Here we are thinking that we're trying to satisfy a thirst that we have within us, but He has a thirst within Him. He wants your fellowship. And to get your fellowship, He placed a thirst in you so that you would thirst for Him so that He could have your fellowship. And He wants your fellowship more than you want His. So Moses makes this petition, and God answers him. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So there's three parts in this. What Moses was asking for when he asked to see the glory of God, it's not really explained to us. We don't know what he had in his mind. We don't know, you know, exactly word for word what Moses was asking for. But in answering this, we get a little glimpse of what he was asking for. Because in answering this, the Lord says, I'll show you my goodness. I'll proclaim my name, and I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy. That is the glory of the Lord. So His goodness to us, to you and I, on a day-to-day basis, is a manifestation of a part of His glory to you and I. The goodness of God today, it's shown in us when He saves us, when He sanctifies us. Technology is a blessing and it's a curse, and it's a blessing and it's a curse. So his goodness is shown to us when He saves us, when He sanctifies us from our former selves, when He places within us the right kind of desires, when He fills us with the Holy Ghost. That's His goodness. When He calls us out of the religious systems of the world to walk with Him. That's His goodness. When He pulls us out of the bondage of sin and He gives us peace and joy and long-suffering and hope and love. When He quickens the attributes of His own character, the virtues, the very virtues of Christ that's in the gene that's in your soul. We are seeing the goodness of the Lord. We are seeing the glory of the Lord. And when we surrender to Him and when we walk among others, they are seeing His goodness as He passes by them. I will make all my goodness pass before thee, He says. Now, God must condescend to make Himself known, because we can't ascend to know Him. So He condescends to make Himself known to you and I. Now, God did not take Moses up and then reveal Himself to Moses entirely and all at once, because that would have killed Moses. Do you understand, friends, why God doesn't completely unveil Himself to you and I all at once? It's the mercy of God. When we were buried in sin, when we were living in the world, it would have killed us to come into His presence. For Him to make Himself known to us in the brightness of His glory, we would have been annihilated. His glory would smite the earth with a curse unless something was done. His second coming in all of His glory would have resulted in the wiping out of all mankind if something wasn't done. And so His coming is in parts. In order for us to walk before the glory of God, we're going to have a body change. In order for us to see the fullness of His glory. Because it would kill us to stand before His full glory in this human body. It's starting up again. Verse 19. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now we know that Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. But He never prayed and said, in the name of the Lord Jesus. He didn't have to. He was the attribute of the fullness and was therefore the very manifestation of the name. So the name of the Lord was declared in Him and through Him. You and I pray in the name of the fullness because we're not the fullness of Him. So He lets Moses know that the name of the Lord is going to be with them, even though they don't deserve it. Now, before you get on the bandwagon, you don't either. I don't either. None of us do. Moses didn't. So He will be with them in His goodness, in His name, and in His grace. Now, we might pray and ask for a certain thing, and when we don't see Him move in the thing that we ask for, we might say, well, where's the Lord? We might cry out, I'm looking for the Lord, and why isn't He, and how come? And, you know, I prayed, and I asked for this certain thing, but where is He? Where's God in my life? But you're still saved this morning. There's God in your life. You're still sanctified this morning. There's God in your life. There's His goodness in your life. There's His glory in your life. You're still filled with the Holy Ghost. You're still experiencing His goodness. You're still identified with His name. You're still experiencing His grace. You are seeing the glory of God daily as you walk in this age of darkness. And you're not overcome by the darkness. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Exodus 33:20. And He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Well, wait a minute. What did we just read in the 11th verse? This is the 20th verse. The 11th verse says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. And in verse 20 it says, you can't see my face. Did the prophet make a mistake here? Should we leave this message of Moses because it contradicts? Should we correct Moses? But what he meant to say was, it's our understanding that needs a little adjustment. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So God had spoken to Moses up to this point in a veiled form. He was speaking to him face to face, but Moses wasn't seeing his face. He was veiled, and he spoke to him. But now, it's time to see him in a greater measure, in a more personal way. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me. There you go, you found it. It's in a cord or a cable or something. It's time to see him in a greater measure. It's time to see him with the veil lifted. Verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Why don't we just turn that off for now? And we don't need that. You can hear me, right? Okay.